from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Dave Iverson. Taxi! That cry doesn't often get you very far in San Francisco, a town where hailing a cab is notoriously difficult. But as with any other challenge of modern living, it turns out there's an app for that. Multiple apps, in fact. A new breed of startup is taking advantage of smartphone technology to provide a taxi alternative. Customers can use various smartphone apps to find drivers representing companies like Uber and Sidecar, and off you go. But state regulators are trying to put the brakes on the new service, saying they're operating without necessary consumer safeguards. Finding a ride in San Francisco, next on Forum, after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Dave Iverson, in for Michael Krasny. Everyone agrees that finding a cab when you need one in San Francisco isn't always easy. But in a city where technology is king, it's not surprising that a few startups have now jumped in to provide an alternative. Companies like Sidecar, Uber, and Lyft use various smartphone applications that allow customers and drivers to find each other and arrange for a ride. No booking in advance, no hailing a cab. It's smart and savvy, but is it safe? And even more fundamentally, is it legal? The State Public Utilities Commission has fined those companies $20,000 each for failing to obtain proper permits, and one of them now faces a class action lawsuit as well. Taxi drivers are none too happy about the service either because they say it fundamentally just cuts corners. We're going to take up that topic now with Mark Gruberg, who is a member and former chair of United Taxi Cab Workers, a cab drivers association, also a founder, and drives a car for Green Cab. Mark, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Happy to have you join us. Sunil Paul joins us as well. He's co-founder and CEO of Sidecar Technologies, a rideshare community with operations in San Francisco and Seattle. Sunil Paul, good morning.
Good morning. Happy to be here.
Happy to have you join us. And Benny Evangelista joins us as well, technology reporter for the San Francisco Chronicle, who's been covering this issue. Benny, set up the conflict for us, if you would, or controversy, whatever word you wish to choose, and what the debate is about between these new forms of apps. There's an app always, of course, for everything, and the traditional taxi kind of service.
Well, to me, it seems like the classic case of new technologies versus an old established industry. On one side, the technology companies such as Uber and Sidecar, even Tick and Go and Lyft, they have new ways of hailing transportation, cabs, limos, private cars.
And tell us basically how it works. If I'm standing out on the corner of Market Street and want to get a ride, how would I do that?
Well, they're all a little different, but basically you have a smartphone app that you kind of pre-arrange your account. It takes your credit card and you push the button. It uses your geolocation services on your phone, your smartphone, finds the nearest ride, whatever that may be, whether it's commercial transportation or a private car, and hooks you up with it.
And what are the objections that have been raised by the Public Utilities Commission in particular over this sort of service?
Well, they're concerned over public safety. The taxi cab and limo industries are very heavily regulated, and they are so because of public safety. You know, the cars have to be inspected. The drivers have to be licensed and properly trained. You have to have everything accountable, and that's the way it's been for decades. And they say that these new companies are going outside those rules and those regulations and just coming in with this new technology. They say it doesn't matter what kind of new technology they're using, it's still the same kind of thing. As one lawyer put it, it's still basically transporting human beings for hire.
And Mark Gruberg, as a longtime cab driver, is your basic concern that these are companies that are just sort of cutting in, jumping the queue, in a word, and not being regulated in the same way that you are and getting, therefore, an unfair advantage?
There's a purpose to the regulation of public transportation and taxis of public transportation, and the services that these companies are providing are also public transportation. The purpose is to protect the public. There are safety concerns. There are insurance concerns. Driver training driver checks. These are all really important issues, and these companies are completely avoiding any of those issues. They're completely unregulated. There's no oversight. There's no one that can say whether what they're doing or what they say they're doing is actually happening.
Well, let's take up, if we can, just the question of driver safety. And Sunil Paul, tell me how you deal with that with Sidecar. If you're not subject to the regulations of the Public Utilities Commission, how is it that you can ensure would-be customers that your drivers are indeed can be depended on that are safe?
Yeah. Dave, I think, first of all, it's important to understand what exactly Sidecar is. And it is different than some of the others that are out there in that we are the first and largest instant carpooling service. And what that means is we use a smartphone app to allow people to instantly connect up if they're a passenger or a driver with one another. And, I mean, this is not new. Carpooling has been going on. We've decided as a society that carpooling is legal, that it doesn't require a livery license, and that you can get compensation for it. So what's different and what's new—
So you're saying it's almost like sort of the casual carpool idea, that it's an extension of that, just utilizing technology in a way that combines that older idea?
That's exactly right. Casual carpool transports 5,000 people a day in the Bay Area, 5,000 people a day. That is way bigger. In fact, I'd venture to guess that us and the others that have been cited, both Sidecar and the three others, in combination, don't move that many people.
And on the question of driver safety, how do you go about making sure that the drivers who do participate in this process are indeed drivers that customers can depend on?
Yeah. So we have felt from the very beginning that we must build a service that is trustworthy and safe. More trustworthy, more safe than casual carpool, where strangers connect for 5,000 rides a day. And what we've done is created a 10-point safety program that includes background checks of the driver. It includes star ratings for both the driver and the passenger. We have every passenger has to have a valid credit card. There are photographs of the driver and the car. You can share that with your friends. There's GPS tracking of the vehicle. All these things are done and go way above and beyond what is done for carpooling.
Sunil Paul, he is the CEO and co-founder of Sidecar Technologies. Get another point of view now. Joining us on the phone is Travis Kalanick. He's co-founder and CEO of Uber. You're also facing, Mr. Kalanick, first, thanks so much for joining in on our conversation. In addition to the fines that have been levied by the Public Utilities Commission, you're also facing a class action lawsuit by two cab drivers who, again, are challenging this way of doing business because, in essence, you're cutting corners. You're not being subject to the same sort of regulation that they are. How do you respond to that fundamental challenge?
Well, I think there's just a misunderstanding of what Uber does. Uber only works with licensed livery and limousine companies in the state of California. So all these notions of no safety checks, no regulation, no insurance, all of this stuff, I think applies to companies like, probably applies to companies like Lyft and Sidecar, but all of the drivers, all of the limo companies that we work with, all the rides that we connect our customers to are either in one of two things. They're either in licensed livery companies here in the state of California, licensed by the California PUC, or they're actual taxis themselves.
So just to be clear on the distinction, and as Benny Evangelista mentioned at the beginning, there are variations in all of these various operations from Sidecar to Lyft to yours at Uber. But Uber is different in that when people use their phone app, they're connecting up with drivers who have already passed certain tests, right? They're the so-called black limo type drivers as opposed to the more casual kind of association, correct?
Yes, and they're all insured, they're all licensed by the PUC, and that includes drug alcohol tests, that includes commercial insurance, that includes equipment inspection, And there's other requirements like workers' comp for drivers of sedan companies. Of course, there's payroll, payroll taxes, things like that. These are all the types of things that are generally avoided by the sort of models you're talking about with like a Lyft or a sidecar.
So if you've gone that extra step and made that kind of connection to those drivers, why not go two steps more? Why not go ahead and go through the PUC regulatory process so that you're sort of fully vetted and approved?
Well, I think that the first thing is to what end? If you look at the PUC licensing for, it's called a TCP license, which all of our partners have. You have to be a provider of transportation, and the first requirement is you have to own a car. We don't own any cars, and we don't employ drivers. The sedan companies that we partner with do. And so we couldn't even get a license if we wanted one, is first. And then second is, you know, let's say we came up with some kind of way to exempt us from some of these regulations. Let me give you an example. All the cars that ever connect to Uber have been inspected by the state of California, are insured with proof of insurance for commercial purposes. The drivers do have gone through drug and alcohol tests, you know, et cetera. Do we, after they go to the DMV to get the car inspected, are we supposed to, you know, go to that driver, go with them, and go back to the DMV to get it inspected again? The regulations that apply to what's called this TCP license are covered with all of our partners because they're all licensed and regulated. So the question is, if we got this license, what do we do with it? And in fact, the requirements to get this license, we can't even do in the first place. So I think it's more of a some might call a technocratic or technical argument that the PUC is making with Uber. It's fundamentally different than what's going on with Sidecar and Lyft.
Travis Kalanick, co-founder and CEO of Uber. I know you have to leave us, but thanks for joining in on our conversation this morning. So, Benny Evangelista, is this then just an example of technology being ahead of the regulation and that we have a situation where our regulatory framework is just not ready to deal with new advances?
I think it is. I mean, this really reminded me of the battles between the technology companies around here, the music technology companies, and the recording industry back, you know, a decade ago. I mean, the law as it was written back in 1996 was just not 1998 was just not capable of anticipating all the changes the technology would bring. I think Travis and Sunil and John Zimmer from Zimride does Lyft, they've mentioned that the forms that they have to fill out to apply for a license at the PUC don't even cover what they do exactly. And so they're trying to work with the PUC to maybe to change the rules at the, you know, so that they can allow companies like this to come in.
Mark Gruberg, how do you respond to that? That this question that you can't keep the technology under wraps, and the problem is really one of regulatory frameworks not catching up with the technology, as opposed to this being something that's fundamentally unfair.
Well, first of all, this is not about technology. We have in the taxi industry all the technology that's being used by these companies and far more and put to far better use. The company I'm with, Green Cab, uses a service called Cabulous, which is basically the same kind of cell phone app that you find these other services using. Companies, Luxor Cab, uses a service called Taxi Magic.
So to go back to my example, if I'm standing somewhere on Market Street and I want to get you, I have that app, the Cabulous app. I can use that just as readily and find the nearest green cab and get picked up as easily as I could from one of these others?
Absolutely. Not only Green Cab, there are probably 8 or 9 different companies using the Cabulous app. Taxi Magic is another. Several others have entered into the market, and we are pushing very hard on the Municipal Transportation Agency, which regulates taxis, to join all these together so that when you go to your smartphone, you would have the whole fleet at your disposal.
So there's citywide dispatch.
Basically, it would be a citywide dispatch for cell phone apps, and we've also been pushing them for years and years to get a citywide dispatch dispatch, an integrated dispatch system for telephone calls.
Sunil Paul, what's your response to that when you hear Mark Gruber say they're already on board with this idea, but they're following the rules and basically you're not?
I think that transportation is way too important to close the door on innovation. We have a mess of transportation here in the Bay Area, and taxis are an important part of the solution, transit an important part of the solution, and so is ride-sharing. We, for the first time, have created a super fast, super easy, super convenient, just download it from the iTunes store, Android store, and you can get going kind of experience that is fundamental and transformational.
So you're saying it's not one or the other. You're just adding an additional consumer choice?
That's right. We are adding to the mix and helping improve the solutions to the transportation problem. I mean, you know, it's hard to move around in San Francisco. 70% of the rides in San Francisco, one person, one car. And we want to change that.
I want to go back to the distinction that we heard Travis Kalanick make for Uber versus what you offer with Sidecar. Make sure it's clear to people. They're linking up people who are already licensed, who already have licenses to drive so-called black limo type cars. How is yours different than that? What additionally do you provide that something like Uber or Green Cab that Mark Gruberg drives do not?
Yeah. Well, I think if you can compare it to the ways of getting around today, today you can pick up the phone and order a cab. You can pick up the phone and order a limo. You can pick up the phone and ask a friend to drive. Uber allows you to instantly get a limo. Various technologies allow you to instantly get a cab. And we allow you to instantly connect with a friend or a neighbor or someone from the community that is going that same direction, has available time to take you. And our entire system is built around the community and allowing the community to decide.
So
sort of
crowdsourcing as cabs?
Yeah. I mean, this is part of a bigger movement to the sharing economy.
Can I jump in on this?
Go ahead, Mark.
Because
Rupert.
This is total hogwash. First of all, the idea of ride sharing is such a misnomer. I live in the East Bay. If I go down to the bus stop where the bus to San Francisco stops and I pick up two or three people and bring them into San Francisco, that's ride sharing. These are people out there to make a buck. This company is out there to make millions of dollars, and the people that are driving for them are out there to make as much money as they can. And it's ludicrous to say, as they do in their contract, and as Sunil has said here, that this is a service provided by people who are going in the same direction as somebody else. This is a community service.
But
it's any vehicle that is in their system will take you exactly to the place you want to go. They're not going anywhere except where you want to go.
But that's simply not true. We set up this system from the very beginning to be 100% legal. We designed it with lawyers at our side. We really took the attitude that we can create an instantaneous carpooling system. And if you look at the way that people are using it, the vast majority of drivers are using it to go from point to point incidentally. For example, there's a guy, Nick, who works at YouTube, and every morning he turns on the app and he looks for someone going south. He gives them a ride, and if he can, he looks for someone going the other way, which is often harder.
I want to hear from people who have experienced this one way or the other, because we're all talking in a sense about what kind of service people want. I'd love to hear what you've heard in the way of your readers, Benny Evangelista, as you've written about this topic. We want to hear from our listeners as well. So we'll go ahead and open up our phone lines to hear from people about the kind of service they want, the kind of service they need, whether or not they feel like these added applications are a good idea, or whether, like Mark Gruberg, they see real concerns and problems with the way in which those services are being provided. You can join us at 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786. Email us at forum@kqed.org, or post your thoughts or comments on our Facebook page or website, too. So, Benny, I know you've gotten a lot of response to your writing about this, which is interesting in and of itself. It's one of those hot-button sort of topics. What are you hearing from people about about whether they like this service, whether they're worried about it, concerned about safety. What are you hearing?
Well, you know, I hear a gamut of responses, but it's interesting. I think maybe a lot of people think that it's only the young people in the city that use these new services. But I had an interesting call from a woman who sounded like an elderly woman, who just absolutely loved it. And I forget which one it was. I don't know if it was yours, Sunil, or what. But she loved the ability to just summon a cab with, you know, her smartphone. She loved the ability to know who she was getting a ride with, and it felt more secure for her. It felt faster. And I think that's the feeling that they get. I think one of the things that happens in transportation, and I used to cover transportation, is that solutions to problems take so long. The public doesn't want to wait anymore. They see a solution like these are the ones the technology companies are presenting, and they go to it. And there are a lot of people who love this stuff. The people who don't like it are the people who are driving cabs. Those are the people I'm hearing from, who are upset about these services jumping in and getting their fares. And even though they're following the rules, they're doing everything they can to follow the existing rules, they're getting the short change. They're getting short change.
Do you see a place where – how would you go about improving the need for cabs in San Francisco, Mark Gruber? Because I'm sure you'd probably agree that it's not always the easiest thing in the world to get a cab. So how would you go about solving the problem?
Taxi service in San Francisco definitely needs improvement. There's no argument there. For one thing, the MTA, which is a very, very slow-moving agency.
The Municipal Transportation Agency.
Has, since they took over taxi regulation 3 years ago, has been focusing mostly on enhancing their revenues by selling taxi medallions, now by leasing taxi medallions. They've been slow off the
mark. That's what allows someone to drive a cab in the
right.
city.
They've been slow off the mark in improving service, but they have to date approved over 200 more cabs. Which are coming onto the street day by day. This is something in progress. There's another 50 in the pipeline waiting to be approved. There are going to be hearings early next year, and we expect more cabs. Even more cabs will be coming out. But it's not just a question of numbers or of quantity. It's also a question of the efficiency of the fleet. Our group and others in the industry have been pushing for years for integrating the dispatch services, now for having a means of using your cell phone to access the entire fleet. And we have other ideas that can improve service.
And we're going to break in just a moment. But before we do, Sunil Paul, is your response to that, why wait? I mean, why not use alternatives available now instead of waiting for the MTA to sort of gin all this up?
I think, again, transportation is so important. We have to innovate, and we are innovators. I think that there are so many opportunities. Most transportation trips in San Francisco are a vehicle with empty seats, and what Sidecar represents is the opportunity to fill those empty seats.
But don't you still have to play by the rules?
We absolutely do, and we have designed Sidecar from the very beginning to be 100% compliant.
But the PUC doesn't think so.
We have a disagreement with the PUC about how the rules are interpreted, and we'll be appealing all of these things that all of the citations, et cetera, that they have put forward. I can tell you that we've spent over $250,000 on legal bills dealing with regulatory compliance, and we will prevail.
We'll take this up when we return. We'd love to hear your thoughts on this as well. What can be done to improve taxi service getting around in San Francisco? 866-733-6786 is the number. 866-733-6786. I'm Dave Iverson, in for Michael Krasny. This is Forum on KQED. Welcome back to Forum. I'm Dave Iverson, in today for Michael Krasny. Our topic: new ways of getting around in San Francisco, and whether or not those new methods are correct, safe, legal, appropriate. New technologies make that possible. New apps allow people to hook up with independent drivers to get different places, but the State Public Utilities Commission has said some of these companies are not doing it the way they should, not filing the proper paperwork. And so we have a debate about how to best get around in San Francisco. We'd welcome your thoughts, your own experiences. If you've tried Sidecar, Uber, Lyft, some of these services, what do you think? If you're a taxi cab driver, what do you think? 866-733-6786. Email us at forum@kqed.org or post your thoughts or questions on our Facebook page or on our website. Allison in San Francisco gets us started. Allison, you're on.
Hi. I moved here from Chicago about a year ago, and one of the first things I noticed was how few cabs there were on the street and how difficult it was to get on the street and find a cab to go somewhere. Another thing is that what I've noticed with Lyft and Sidecar, I know exactly when the cab is going to arrive at my location. When I call a cab, I don't know when they're going to arrive. It can be 5 minutes. It can be 50 minutes. And if I have to be somewhere, that's unacceptable.
Allison, thanks. Mark Gruber, why don't you take that?
Yeah, I would suggest using the Cabulous app or use Taxi Magic. It'll get you cab exactly the same way that these apps are being used by companies that are violating the law.
And explain why sometimes people like Allison have that experience, why they have to wait so long when they book a cab and the cab doesn't arrive when they're booked.
This is a chronic problem in the taxi industry everywhere. There are huge swings in supply and demand. There are moments at which there simply are never going to be enough cabs on the street to meet everybody's needs immediately. There are other times when there's an oversupply of cabs and drivers are prowling the streets looking for passengers and can't find them.
Is part of the problem also, though, that cab companies make their money by charging you, the driver, for using their service, and so they're making their money off of you, right? They don't necessarily have the incentive to make sure someone gets there at 7:35 or whenever a taxi is booked.
Cab companies are basically leasing companies. They don't have the same incentive to provide public service as other companies in the service area do, but to the extent that that's true, these other companies are much, much further divorced from service.
How do you respond to that, Sunil Paul, about the question of just customer service?
I think if you ask anyone who's used Sidecar about their experience, almost universally, people love it. And once they try it the first time, there's an 80% likelihood that they will use it again within a month.
Here's some comments coming in via email and web on people's experiences. Elsie writes, I started using Sidecar in September. Allison, by the way, thanks for the call. Elsie writes, I started using Sidecar in September, found it easy as well as safe. Cab companies claim that ride sharing is less safe, but cabs sometimes drive recklessly. Someone else writes about Uber. I took Uber once to SFO, but it was absurdly expensive. I will not use it again. Brian writes, I've used Uber and I find it very convenient. However, Uber automatically charges a 20% gratuity, which is unadjustable. So they're not happy about that. And Lyft, someone writes in, Lyft is amazing. I've used it 4 or 5 times. It's super convenient. So a wide range of views. And let's hear from a driver who has a different perspective on this. Isa joins us in San Francisco. Isa, go ahead.
Hi. I'm a taxi driver in San Francisco. And, I don't have a problem with people, trying to do their thing. But at this point, the taxi business is getting killed from many different sides. And I'm starting to wonder how I'm going to pay my bills when I have to share the money with Uber and share the money with Lyft and all the cab companies from Oakland, the pirate cab companies that come over in Daly City that take the business from us. And when you say taxiing, what you're saying is you are taxing an individual. So Lyft is a taxi company, Uber is a taxi company, but they don't have to follow the same regulations that we follow, and they don't pay the same fees and regulatory fees that we do.
So for you, Isa, it's just a fundamental question of fairness. I mean, you're in this as a particular business, and you have to follow certain rules and pay certain fees, and you're seeing people who are not following those same procedures and making money off of you, right?
Exactly. And if you come from Daly City and you're driving a cab that is not regulated by San Francisco, it's a $1,000 fine. I've looked at mustache people and said, that's a $1,000 fine. You are taxing people just like I'm taxing people. There is no difference at all. You take a person from A to B and you charge them money. That's called taxing.
Isa, thanks so much for the call. Explain the mustache reference, if you would, Benny Evangelista.
Well, that's from...
The mustache reference...
Oh, okay. Isa, go ahead.
The pink mustaches on the Lyft cars.
Okay. All right. Thanks. Thanks for the explanation. So, Paul, what do you say to someone like Isa? You can hear how concerned that driver is, and for legitimate reasons, trying to make a living, trying to support a family, and feels like, you know, she's getting – her business is being hurt because you're jumping the line.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I can't speak for Lyft and how they do things, but sidecar – is instant ride sharing. It's like carpooling. There's no insignia. There's no mustaches, any of that. It looks just like any other car. We really do think transportation is so important. We have to continue innovation. And what we are doing is not new. And while I understand and hear what the Lisa had to say, I think that carpooling today transports 5,000 people a day over the Bay Bridge. In this instant casual carpool, we have decided for decades that carpooling is good for our society, good for sustainability, good for congestion.
But it's a bit different, Neil Paul, if I might. I mean, in terms of just casual carpooling or carpooling in general, you're charging, your drivers are charging for that service. You're getting a cut from the drivers. It's not exactly like old-fashioned casual carpooling.
Well, let's be clear about what we do. Our app is also kind of unique in that there is no price that we set. There is no price that the driver sets. Payment is 100% voluntary, and the suggested amount is not created by us or the driver. It's the community that creates that number.
Understood. But you wouldn't be in this as a business. You wouldn't be the CEO if you didn't expect some sort of return, right?
Sure. We are innovators, and we're driven by creating better solutions for problems in the marketplace. We've identified this great opportunity and this opportunity for innovation, and we're delivering, and we expect that we can grow based on that revenue.
And if I may jump Mark in Cooper. Here, because, you know, what we're really hearing here is the same old tired arguments that have been brought up time and time again. Less regulation is better. No regulation is best. We've seen it time and again in the home mortgage crisis, in the investment banking sector, savings and loans. Do people want no regulation of Chevron when they have an explosion?
But what
or
about
PG?
Benny Evangelista's analogy to the music business, that you can't really keep this bottled up? Look what's happened with iTunes and all the rest. That sort of sharing of music in this case is going to happen.
Well, you know, I mean, file sharing, you know, this is they try to present this as a kind of a peer-to-peer thing. But this is money-making. This isn't I have, you know, this particular piece of music and I want to share it with you.
Can I be clear, though? I think, first of all, there's nothing wrong with making money. But I also think that there's nothing wrong with regulation. We are not knee-jerk libertarians saying no regulation. We are saying use the appropriate regulation. What we do is already regulated and already classified in the existing PUC, the Public Utilities Code. And to the extent that we need new rules for this new medium, we're working with the PUC to work that out.
Benny Evangelista.
And I think with the music analogy, the recording industry did manage to shut down those companies that organizing these new peer-to-peer services, and they used the law, the copyright law, to do so. But the consumers voted. The consumers decided they wanted to go with the new technology rather than the old way of doing things. So I wonder in this case, will that be the same? Will the consumers decide this?
Let's
we
hear from...
have that technology right now in the taxi industry. It isn't universal yet. It's getting there. And it will be there.
Let's hear
but
from more
can,
of our.
You can use that same technology to get a cab right now that you can use with these other services.
And let's hear from more of our listeners. Chris joins us next in San Francisco. Chris, go ahead.
My name is Chris Hayashi. I am the taxi regulator for San Francisco on behalf of the San Francisco Municipal Transportation Agency.
Chris, thanks for joining us.
Well, first of all, I want to make it very clear that this is not about old fuddy-duddies, as the app providers like to characterize this debate. And it's not about protecting the taxi industry from competition. Transportation regulation has existed for 300 years for a reason, and that's public safety and public service. Downloading music from the Internet is not like getting into a private vehicle and entering into traffic with an unknown person. You might as well hitchhike if you use Lyft or Sidecar. Most of the time, it won't matter until it really does matter. And when it does matter, you'll find yourself with no protection and nowhere to turn. So I want to address, first of all, the liability issues. A Lyft or Sidecar user enters into an agreement that in Lyft's case is 26 pages long and Sidecar is a 16-page agreement that everybody who uses this service agrees to, and there's no doubt they designed it with lawyers at their side. Because in addition to making the rider responsible for any damages that either Lyft or its drivers might experience as a result of the ride, they also make you release Lyft from any claim that you might have against them or the driver. The disclaimer and limitation of liability in these contracts is 3 pages long in all capital letters and eliminates any responsibility for Lyft toward the passenger or for the driver.
Let me hold you there, if I might, Chris Hayashi, again, Deputy Director for Taxis for the San Francisco Municipal Transportation Agency, and get a response from Sunil Paul about this fundamental question of safety. She said that getting into a ride from a service like yours, like Sidecar, is no safer than hitchhiking. Response?
Well, first of all, I can't speak to the Lyft contract. I can say that we designed Sidecar with safety as a top priority. We looked at casual carpool that, with the endorsement and support of San Francisco, transports 5,000 people a day, random strangers that connect with one another with no accountability to one another, with no assurance of insurance, no way to track back, no way to hold anybody accountable. We built a system that takes that kind of casual carpool idea and allows it to happen all over the Bay Area. And ultimately, Bay Area being a great exporter of innovation, it's going to happen all over the U.S. and all over the world.
But repeat, if you would, or further articulate, if you would, why it's safer than hitchhiking as
absolutely. Yeah, I mean, so the experience of Sidecar, you download the app from the App Store. You put in your credit card. You indicate where you are, where you want to go. You're connected with someone on the other side who's a driver. You get a picture of the driver. You get a picture of their car. You get their star rating, which means other people have vetted them. You know, with a little tag, that Sidecar has vetted them. We've done background checks. We've done interviews. We've done confirmation of their insurance, confirmation of driver's license and registration. We keep records of all that information. We've got a recorded video interview. We did a final in-person training. All of that is because we take safety seriously.
And Chris Hayashi, just one response back from you as well. You've heard Sunil Paul's explanation of why it's safer than hitchhiking. How do you respond to his argument?
The background check for Sidecar consists of self-reporting your Social Security number or maybe somebody else's Social Security number. It does not involve a fingerprint Department of Justice background check, as we require for all taxi drivers. And if anything does happen during that ride, if you are refused service, if for some reason that driver is not safe, you have no place to turn. If you're in a taxi, you can come to us as the regulator. You can come to the taxi company, and there is accountability there.
Chris Hayashi from the Municipal Transportation Agency, really appreciate your calling in and joining our conversation. We'll pick up on these the safety issue more, but I want to get in some other concerns about safety from the other side, which is a number of people writing in and saying that they feel safer in these Sidecar and these sorts of issues than they do in some of these other kinds of services like traditional taxis. Someone writes in, for example, that they find that much less safe in regular taxis. This person writes in, if I can find this. Sorry, I've lost my email on that. But essentially, the point was, Mark Gruber, that lots of people feel not safe in traditional taxis, that those drivers aren't safe. How do you respond to that sort of safety concern?
Well, I think that taxis are regulated specifically for purposes of ensuring the public's safety. The drivers, first of all, go through a week of training before they can even get on the road as a cab driver. Their backgrounds are checked for any kind of criminal violation, anything else that turns up, and they never become a taxi driver if anything like that turns
so
up.
So how
they're,
this is,
they're constantly under right. the eye of the regulatory agency, and if a driver does something wrong, they're going to be pulled off the street either by the company or by the MTA.
Here's the email I was looking for, and we've received many others like this. I'm listening to the taxi driver on your show talk about driver safety, and I have to say I'm flabbergasted. Has this person ever taken a San Francisco taxi? I'm almost always in fear for my life when I get into a taxi. Uber, on the other hand, doesn't make me feel uncomfortable. They don't drive too fast, so forth and so on. So you're saying that that may be so, but at least there's a recourse. You can report that taxi driver, right?
That's right. But this is one person's anecdotal perception of the situation. You know, these companies, they've only been in existence a small number of months. They're in a kind of a honeymoon period. Wait till the problems start arising. Chris Hayashi was spot on. When things are going well, you don't need regulation. You need the regulation when things go bad and to stop them from going bad. And there's nothing to stop anything from going bad with these services.
Sunil Paul.
Can I just say 5,000 rides a day? 20 years.
You're talking about casual carpool going across the Bay Bridge.
Random people connecting with one another. The city is in strong support of that because it's good for us. It's good for us as a city and a society.
Let's hear from more of our listeners. Chris joins us next. Go ahead, Chris.
Good morning. This is a question mostly for Mark Gruber, I think. I've been following this sector and Uber in particular, and I'll confess up front that I'm a big fan of the app and the company that's built and the sophistication. In New York City, what I found interesting was they essentially got a cease and desist in New York, primarily because the Taxi and Limousine Commission out there decided that it was discriminatory against people on the street who didn't have access to an app. It sounds like in San Francisco there's no similar concern because Cabulous and Taxi Magic are touted by Mark as solutions to this problem. And my question is really, why not just let the best technology prevail in this case? You know, you have your analogies in places like the music industry, and I'd say even the travel agent industry, with Apollo and Sabre early on, there were the incumbents who tried to protect their positions with technology. But then you had Expedia, you had Hotwire, you had Kayak most recently come along with better solutions that were more in tune and kind of more advanced and really resonated with the consumer. And it seems that Uber and possibly Lyft and others are really going in that direction now. And the consumer is obviously in support of that. So why not just let the best technology prevail in the situation?
Chris, thanks. Mark Gruber.
Yeah, and the response is that it's fundamentally not about the technology. People are so enamored with this technology that they're allowing, that thought to encompass the entire field. The technology is there, whether it's being used by companies that are acting legally or companies that are acting illegally.
But doesn't it
that you still need the regulatory structure, and these companies are outside the regulatory structure.
But from a customer point of view, what we're hearing are people like this. Josh, who writes in, who says, I've heard enough excuses from the Public Utilities Commission. They always say, we have ideas, we've worked for years. It's time for them to stop fighting services like Uber, Sidecar, and Lyft and start working with them on developing reasonable regulations to accommodate for the market's demands. So another version of let's work with as opposed to let's try to keep technology in a bottle.
Well, first of all, I think it's important to note the distinction between the state regulation, which is basically regulation of the limousine industry, which are called charter party carriers, and city regulation, which is a regulation of taxi cabs. These companies are providing taxi cab services. It's really up to the MTA to step in and make sure that the taxi rules and regulations are being obeyed. The state PUC has stepped in because right now nobody is regulating them. And so you might just as well say they're breaking state laws, they're breaking city law. They're actually breaking both.
Let me ask, what do you think it would take for the cab companies and the taxi drivers to work with companies like this? Because it appears that they're not going away. What would you want to see them do so that all this works for everybody?
If they want to apply to become taxi companies in San Francisco and obey the rules that we have to obey, they can certainly do that.
Well, that seems to be, if I might interject,
we can't have two incompatible forms.
But this is a fundamental question, because what you're saying is if they want to follow the rules and be licensed as taxi companies, they should do that. You, I think, are saying, Sunil Paul, you're not taxi companies. So you don't want to follow those rules. You want to follow rules. You're happy to follow rules, but not those rules.
That's right. We are following the rules. I think where there's a disagreement is Mark and maybe others out there think that we are a taxi company, and we are simply not. Now, I think, and we've got no gripe with the taxi companies or the taxi drivers. I mean, we think taxis are an important part of the mix. Can I just say one thing about government is that there are ways for government to support this activity and to encourage innovation in transportation. And, you know, we are all part of that. I mean, government responds to us ultimately. And we've been very successful with a petition at change.org. If you do a search on Sidecar, you'll find it. We had 5,000 signatures in just 24 hours, and that, I think, is actually starting to make a difference.
Let's hear from more of our listeners. Sam joins us next in San Francisco. Sam, go ahead.
Yes. Well, I just want to speak on an unbiased position. Humans are the same. It doesn't matter what occupation they have. And they are able to do good and they are able to do evil. And that is why regulation steps in to stop the evil. And listeners might not be aware, but there are about classes every month. And there are about 30 graduates added, taxi drivers added to the taxi industry. The reason is that all the time, taxi drivers get caught breaking the law and they get kicked out of the industry. But the, what Sidecar, Lyft, and Uber don't have, they do not have such a regulation stop this kind of violation.
Sam, thanks. I'm gonna hold you there. Sorry to jump in, but we're a little short on time. And I think that's a fair point, Sunil Paul. I mean, that there ought to be some sort of regulation. And you would not, it sounds like, disagree with that. You just want regulation that takes into account who you are as opposed to being something other than you're not.
We want regulation that supports innovation because transportation is just way too important to ignore. And I think good examples of that, of what have been done with voice over IP, where we've had action by the legislature to encourage innovation, what has been done with the Communication Decency Act at Congress, systems that basically do create ground rules and help support innovation on top of that.
Let's get in a few more listener comments. Scott in San Francisco is up next. Scott.
Hi. I'm a big Uber fan. And I've taken Uber in a number of different places. And in San Francisco, it's just a much better service because the taxis are not safe. They take a long time to pick you up. Now, I've taken Uber in London, and London has a great taxi service, and I prefer to take taxis in London. So why don't you just let them compete?
Scott, thanks for the call. Benny Evangelista, have you looked at this in other cities? I mean, I was just in New York and where there are taxis aplenty. I mean, is this something that has developed fundamentally in San Francisco because of the taxi shortage problem?
Well, it is more developed here, but Uber is in other cities, and I'm not sure. I think you're only in Seattle right now, Sunil.
That's right, just San Francisco and Seattle.
San Francisco and Seattle. So it is starting here, but they do have services elsewhere. And there is I forget the name of it, the International Transportation Board is also developing rules for taxi cab regulators in other cities, not only here. So there's movement afoot, at least throughout the nation, to put more regulations on companies like Sunil's.
Mark Krubrick, it seems like a lot of what we're hearing from our listeners this morning, a couple more comments. If there were no problems getting cabs, these apps wouldn't exist. Someone else writes, I love seeing technology get used to empower individuals. These programs fit that model well. People seem to be saying, hey, there's a problem. I don't want to wait until it's all sorted out regulatorily. I'm going to take advantage of something new that's out there that gets me from point A to point B.
Well, they might want to do that, and they might be sorry for doing it. If they have a problem, who do you turn to? Do you turn to a company that says, we deny any responsibility for anything that happens during the course of your trip? Who do you go to then? There's no one in government that's going to help you because they are unregulated. So, we simply can't have a situation where companies like this are allowed to exist outside the law.
Sunil Paul, last thought.
I would leave us with the same thought of transportation is so important, and we have a solution that improves sustainability, that improves community engagement, that gives people the tools to effectively change the game of transportation in their own communities. And it is a new innovative solution that should be allowed to thrive.
And Benny Evangelista, walk us through what's going to happen next here. I mean, there's the class action lawsuit against Uber. There's the PUC having levied fines against three of these companies. What do you foresee taking place in the months ahead?
I foresee more controversy. I'm not sure how fast the PUC is going to act on this. They've levied cease and desist orders. They levy these fines. That doesn't seem to be stopping the companies at all. I think they're probably well funded and they're prepared to fight it out. So it's going to be a battle. It's going to be raging for a little while, and I'm not sure where it's going to go. It depends on how. I think the PUC has indicated, though, they're willing to talk to these tech companies to come up with different solutions, maybe different regulations. But, you know, with commissions and government, that could take years.
Benny Evangelista, technology reporter for the San Francisco Chronicle. Benny, thanks very much for being part of our program.
Thank you, Randy. I
want to thank Mark Gruberg as well, member and former chair of United Taxi Cab Workers, a cab drivers association, and a founder of Green Cab. Mark, thanks for being part of our program as well.
Thank you.
And Sunil Paul, co-founder and CEO of Sidecar Technologies, a rideshare community. Sunil Paul, thank you.
Thanks, Dave.
Earlier, we also heard from Travis Kalanick, the co-founder and CEO of Uber. Forum is produced by Judy Campbell and Irene Noguchi. Amanda Stupai is our engagement producer. Paul Ancour is our engineer today. Dan Zoll, our senior editor. Raul Ramirez, our executive producer. I'm Dave Iverson, in for Michael Krasny. This is Forum on KQED.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Generosity Foundation in honor of Louise and Claude Rosenberg, and by a generous gift from Jan Schrem and Maria Minetti Schrem, owners of Clos Pegase Winery, who believe that all people deserve access to education, information, and culture for a lifetime of exploration and learning.